7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 68 of Color of Magic, your magic gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of issues around gaming that don't normally get in your ear, but maybe we will. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as usual, now for 68 episodes, Brian Allen with me here in tow. How you doing, dude?
I don't even feel like I'm in my 60s, so it's good to know. Trekking along.
Well, you know, we're going to get stuff next week because, you know, giggity.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, before we get into today's show, I want to say thank you to a new patron, which, by the way, if you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/colorofmagic. Sean Brown has come along for that. Actually, you know, I just realized I made a mistake. I sent Sean's postcard. I don't know if he got an invite to the Discord, so I need to do that as soon as we're done. I need to take care of you, Sean. I didn't forget about you. We appreciate you. I promise. And we want to tell people about our sponsor, cardsphere.com, that really, I don't say just even beyond the business they provide, just good people. You know, they get involved. They talk about the different issues. They support a good range of content creators that are of diverse background. So, hey, if you want to support the things we talk about, go do business with Cardsphere. Matter of fact, they were saying that they already have everything up for Kaldheim. So if you want to buy, sell, trade your cards over there, go for it. And Magic prices look to be up a little bit. So if you're looking to sell, go set up an account over on cardsphere.com.
All right.
Now, this week, man, we got some things we're going to get to talk about. So we might have our soapbox and what do you learn? We might go a little bit. We might spend most of the episode there. So I'm going to, yeah, this crowd's, oh, man. This is going to be a thing. But let me say, you know, like, we love us. We like to talk about Twitch. We both stream over there. But man, this past week, oh boy. Oh boy. Like, okay. So let's start with just the stuff with the whole PogChamp thing, right? Like, cause we talked about that, and that's like kind of the underlying mood and tone to all of this. That they just had this happening over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And then, in typical Twitch fashion, they're like, hey, let's show people we're really on board. Let's do our award show. For those of you who don't know, they put up an award show, and I can't remember what they, like the Participation Awards or something, what they called it.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, why would you even title a thing? Like, this is a whole separate rant, by the way.
I think they're trying to be funny and ironic, I guess.
But it's like, participation trophies. Exactly. You know the connotation that comes with the whole term participation trophy. You know what groups like to use that as just an insult or whatever, right? Like, why? Why would anybody in marketing or anybody that has anything with PR or whatever decide that that's an acceptable title?
For the memes, sir. For the lols.
I'm just saying, you could have had, like, exemplary awards. You could have been, like, excellence or excel or whatever, like, something in that space. You could have been had, like, anything that talks about grandeur or anything. Like, there's so many different words you could have used. Tons of synonyms.
The marketing strategy is that we embrace all the memes. It's the only marketing strategy, really.
I guess. But, like, even when I saw it, I didn't even understand what it was when I saw the title. I'm like, participation? Like, what are we even doing? And then I go click on it, and I'm like, oh, it's just like an award show for, like, different milestones and things that happened last year. I'm like, oh, okay.
It is bad when you got to click and do more research to realize it's an award show. That's not.
Well, yeah, like it didn't make sense, right? So anyway, back on the normal rant, like they decide they're going to make sure that their different, I guess, presenters they have on are of a pretty diverse background, which, to be fair, they at least got that part right. Like and I'm just guessing, but the main host looked like she was probably, like, if I were guessing, I would say probably at least part Asian. Didn't look like traditionally white. If I'm just guessing, I didn't know her. I didn't do the extra research. This is just from what I saw in the, like, 45 minutes or so that I watched. And then other people that came through, there was, like, a couple of black dudes. You know, you had, there was, like, the person we talked about a couple weeks ago, Deer was on. The what you call it? The, I want to say cross-dressing performer. That's right. The drag queen was on there, right? So they were bringing on a good variety of presenters, right? So I'm like, okay, cool.
It's off to a great start.
Yeah, and I'm like, makes sense. And then that's about it. Like,
the bomb drop.
Yeah, after that, it's just, I mean, it's just a crap show after that, right? Like, and I don't mean like it was a crap show. Y'all know what I'm saying.
Crap like, show, one word, I guess.
Exactly. Like, it just had so many weird issues, and some people didn't look like they were prepared or kind of even fully knew what was going on with the awards. And then the chat was just a mess.
Wait, like, a Twitch chat was a mess?
Let me say this. Okay, if you go back to the beginning of our show, like near the beginning, like there was a thing where I got invited on with a bunch of other Black content creators to talk about, you know, issues with streaming or whatever, and, you know, things we're learning and all that. And Twitch decided they were going to showcase it, whatever, and that's good. And we all agreed that, like, hey, if you have moderators or whatever that are available, hey, make them available to the chat. Like, we know we're gonna draw some negativity, blah, blah, blah. Like, had the discussion with Twitch behind the scenes and all that, right? Made sure we were good to go. So it's not like they didn't have experience with this, because that was over a year ago, right?
Yeah,
so it's
not I remember this.
So it's not like they didn't know this was a thing. That was a concern for minority groups, or I'll just say marginalized groups, not even minority groups, right? You know this is a thing. Enough that we had the discussion and came to you and said, hey, we're going to need access for our moderators to do some things because we're pretty sure this is going to be an issue. You put people front and center and had almost no moderation. Like, and I'm saying no moderation because that's what it looked like. If there was, it was minimal. And my concerns are two issues. Either one, you had moderators and they were just really just terrible and didn't delete stuff or block stuff. Or there was literally so much vitriol that they couldn't keep up with it. Neither of those things is acceptable.
It could be a why not both. It could be a combination of those two things.
And that may be it too. It could
people
just
that were inexperienced in moderating that were also understaffed.
But again, you could have just went to each person you were going to have presenting and be like, hey, is there any way you could speak to your moderators so we have extra bodies in here? And I don't care if that means you end up with 50 moderators. And if you just don't need them or they don't have to do anything, great. Then everybody wins. But there should be no reason, especially on the thing that you are putting front and center where some like 40,000 eyeballs or something are going to see it. These people are each bringing their own audiences because they're like, hey, I'm going to be presenting on this award show and blah, 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 right? And these are all big streamers. So they're going to be bringing their own communities here.
These are your Oscars, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's just like, what were they thinking? Like, I mean, to see people using like the inappropriate emojis or whatever, when Deer was up there, people saying, oh, what is this, you know, language? But basically making fun of acting like it's a weird, I don't know, like something weird optics to have this person on the camera. You know, I'm just like, why is this even a thing? You know, why are we letting these underhand, like, it's just, and yeah, people aren't making, not using the N-word, but they're using language that's basically telling you that, like, I have a problem with this Black person on the screen. And it's not like anybody...
As you said, this is a year ago when y'all sat down and had this discussion. Every week seems like one or the other of us in the soapbox is talking about something that Twitch did along these lines. And it's not just us. I mean, every website that even kind of covers gaming, every podcast, this is pretty much weekly. And yet still nothing seems to be happening.
And here's the worst part. The worst part to me is, like, if I just assume the people that own Twitch were evil and they were racist or whatever, it'd be so much easier. Because I can say, I get it. You have this certain mentality. It's going to bleed out. Stuff happens. Right? What makes it tough is that you're trying to make the efforts and you just keep screwing it up.
Like, or, you know, if it was some, you know, really small, independent, plucky operation, you could understand how they could be overwhelmed. But this is a division of one of the largest corporations in the world.
But the thing is, like I said, you have these days where, okay, cool, we're going to do these things. We can block and ban these people who are harassing this person. Great. Like, we're going to have these minority groups or marginalized groups on here. We're going to do this thing. So, like, we know this is important. Great. All right, we're going to have an award show. We're going to make sure that the presenters come from all backgrounds, all walks. Great. And then, in the middle of that, you're just like, oh, yeah, but we just forgot about moderation.
And just, you know that marginalized people saw a couple of weeks ago when they decided to ban the words simp, incel, and virgin, apparently in any context.
Yeah.
Those were your biggest problems? who was calling for that?
And all that's going to do is just lead to other words being used.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, you just get rid of the people. I mean, that's the thing. You know who else did
virgin
that?
Virgin especially is a word that has so many other contexts. That's going to be a hard ban to enforce. Like, yeah, okay, if I never say simp or incel again, like, it's whatever. But virgin has, I'm going to guess, 15 other meanings or contexts it could be used in.
Dude, that's kind of weird. I didn't think about that. Like, if you're doing, like, a cooking show and somebody talks to you, do you just have to say EVOO every time? Because you can't say extra virgin olive oil?
Right. Or if you're literally talking about, you know, a character in a game or a play or something that is a virgin. And that's integral to Virgin Mary. You know, you can't do a religious stream.
I hadn't thought about that, because there's other items and different things that are described as like virgin material or whatever, right?
Virgin,
like,
daiquiris, virgin records. You can't have Richard Branson on, or if you do, you can't say what he owes.
That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that's a whole different problem. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it's, again, if they were being used that much, maybe you do like the three strike rule if it's not like an outright, like, I don't know, racist or derogatory term or something. But like,
and the thing is, we know who the primary target audience is when those words are used. But they get relatively quick action that I didn't even hear most of that community asking for those bans. It just seems like it was just hey, we're dropping a hammer that almost nobody asked for to protect our core audience.
The problem, though, is that this isn't a situation where, like, you can't identify the perpetrators, right? Like, they literally log into the site. Like, if somebody says, like, hey, this person was doing this thing, harassing, use this language, whatever, in my chat, like, literally, you hit the button and they see it on the other side. So you can just yeet the person to the moon.
And there are so many women of all ethnicities and backgrounds that have, might as well say, stalkers and full-on harassment that can't get action taken by Twitch.
I will tell you this. This is a big thing for me right now. Like, after some of that stuff happened over the last couple of weeks, because I told you about, you know, the knuckleheads that came into my chat and whatever. And I sent a message to Twitch, and I tagged them on Twitter, actually, and both Twitch and Twitch support. And I said, look, here's what happened. Is there recourse? Because if you don't immediately report the person and you just ban them, the back end, though I can see who my banned list is, doesn't give me the option to report the name from there. So the way it's set up, you have to basically report first, ban second. So that could slow you down responding, because you got, and it's only like a couple of windows or whatever, but like, you're trying to get that done while the person's just wreaking havoc in your chat or whatever, right? Yeah. So it's not like the best thing. You should be able to block or ban them. Then on the back end with moderator protocols or whatever, be able to send the report or click the name and click report. So it goes, and then they should be able to look back at your chat log and see what the person said. Right? That's what should happen. But when I mentioned that on Twitter, then a couple other people's like, yeah, it would be better if we had nicer controls. It'd be nice if this thing happened. I was like, hey, cool. hey, Twitch, I'm not the only one having this issue. Like, what gives? Is there another option? And nothing. I mean, literally, it's been, what, a week plus? Silence. You know, like 10 days or whatever. So that's part of the issue.
Yeah.
Whereas when I've been talking with these other companies about things, even when we were talking about like Facebook taking my money, I at least got like the just courtesy letter, you know, that they just sent out to everybody. Like I got something. But like I didn't get anything from Twitch. And that's just a bad
one. This is, you know, sadly, this is par for the course. I mean, have, you know, just even like any kind of issue, like let's say you got a tech issue that that you can't get resolved, you know, with any of your friends or anything. It's 2 to 3 weeks. And usually by the time you get any kind of response, you have hopefully solved the problem or you hadn't been able to stream for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, or you just gave up.
Response to where I've forgotten I was having a problem.
Exactly. You've given up and just walked away, or you got it fixed. Like, it just doesn't matter at that point. So, yeah, like, the whole thing was just a mess. Like, from the name of the show to how it was presented.
And apparently a bot got an award. Electrical Longboard got an award for, I think, giving the most raids. And anybody that streamed for more than 10 minutes knows Electrical Longboard is a bot.
Yes. Literally. Why is that account even allowed to just operate that way on Twitch? That's the first question. Like, if bots aren't part of chats or being used for some back-end protocol, why are they even operational on Twitch? Like, that opens up a whole other can of questions.
And how frightening is it that it was able to get a participation award and, like, nobody... Who was... Was there anybody from Twitch in place approving these awards? If so, like...
And again,
have they streamed ever? Because who doesn't know? Apparently, whoever presented the award and whoever picked it didn't know. Or maybe was it supposed to be a joke? If so, no one got it.
Nope. You know what you told me, sir? It's for the memes.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It was for the memes. I wanted to believe maybe it was a joke and we just didn't pick up on it.
But here's the thing, though, right? That does ask the question, like, why is this even operational? Like, this is, again, like, we're going to do this award show, we're going to do this thing, we want to recognize people. And then you had that misstep, right? Like, it's just, these are just little things, but it's just, like, constant. Right? Like, why is that even a thing?
And to the point where it overshadows, you know, the people that did good jobs on their stream and won awards.
And then I saw a story that there's a woman that's a small to mid-level streamer who apparently, I guess, again, because this is kind of Twitch always wants to showcase like their biggest streamers instead of helping the platform grow and get eyes on the people that are up and coming and doing the work. I can't remember who it was, but they gave the award to one of their bigger streamers for getting the highest percentage of a hype train, you know, whatever, like some big percentage on a hype train or whatever, which was a gigantic number. It's like 2,000, like 12% or something, like some gigantic ass number. But then there was another woman, this other woman I'm talking about, like she was making a case to be like, well, no, I don't think that's accurate because I have a thing that shows when I had this giant thing and hers was like 2,068% or something.
Oh boy.
So it's just like, then that calls in the question of like, okay, well, how did you even pick? Did you go by just the biggest streamers that hit these particular goals? And did we not talk about the smaller streamers? Because they're not going to have a platform to... Well, be honest, bitch about it. Like, I don't know. I mean, this could be the one thing that they got wrong. I know, but there's just, it's just, again, when you see like the bot issue and the moderation issue and whatever, it's just like, who didn't check this stuff?
Because if you do any kind of Google search, I mean, you don't even see any awards show you want from a search standpoint. You want the top articles coming up to be about who won and why. There's none of those. It's all about the chaos. It's like the first probably 50, 60 results that you get from this urgent.
For sure. For sure. It's just the whole thing was a mess. And it's just like it comes after like 2 other weeks of them just having problems. Right. And it's just like, come on, guys. Like we are literally rooting for you. Like we want you to be better. We like the idea of what Twitch is. But like you're just making it damn hard. Sucks. But just the way it is. But all right, Brian, why don't you tell people what you learned last week?
Well, it's funny that we were already talking about epic failure, because this translates right into what I was going to talk about this week. Are you familiar with Super Train at all, sir?
Super Train? No. I know of Super Troopers and a game called Monster
Train. Yeah, and Super Tramp, probably. Which is...
And I know a game called Monster Train, but I don't know of a Super Train.
Super Train is one of the biggest failures in television, if not entertainment history. And okay. Basically, as somebody that's been an entertainment journalist for, my God, over a decade now, somehow this is the first time I'm hearing about it. And basically, your elevator pitch for Super Train is, it's the Love Boat, only on a train.
Wait, why is it called Super Train?
Because somebody, you know, had the good sense to realize, okay, Love Boat on a train is a really stupid idea for a TV show. Even somebody, because the guy that pitched this is, he didn't create it, but he was one of the people that was really on board with it. It was Fred Silverman. He's actually a legend of the industry. Saved ABC and CBS at different times in his history. So, of course, NBC brought him on board because they were in dead last back when there were only three networks. And if you were dead last out of three, yeah, bad times.
That is
so
weird.
So, in addition to the whole Love Boat on a train or on a train angle, they wanted to give it a sci-fi hook. So, the Super Train is an atomic-powered bullet train that goes from New York to Los Angeles in just 36 hours. I'm not a mathematician, but somebody else did the math, and that means the train is only going about 80 miles per hour, which even in the 1970s, there were trains that went way faster than that.
I was just about to say, like, you could drive cross-country in not that many more hours. So, like,
right. They were counting on nobody doing the math. Also, the train is, you know, bigger on the inside. Ludicrously so. To where, as a matter of fact, because it's the 70s, the train had, you know, swimming pools, all the amenities. It literally is like a Love Boat. But one of the amenities is a full-scale discotheque.
But that doesn't even make sense, because, like, at least the Love Boat, the premise was like, okay, people are getting on, like, this, like, cruise ship, and, you know, it's a thing, and, you know.
But, like, people take cruise ships. That's a fun thing. People still do that.
Like, people that get on trains, you're sitting in these little spots that have, like, four people or whatever, and, like, you watch stuff through the window, and, like, it's not... That's such a weird premise. Like, who? Like,
One of the greatest geniuses in TV history went all in on this to the point where, because that was one of the problems with the show, was like, had it just been, you know, your ordinary bad Love Boat ripoff, wouldn't have been so bad. But it cost millions of dollars per episode because of the whole sci-fi super train angle. Because they had all these model trains and all these huge, you know, big cutouts to look at the train speeding through the city at around 80 miles per hour.
Yeah, I was going to say speeding at 80 miles an hour. Like, that's so weird, man. Like, I don't even know why.
The combination of that, you know, that was the year that we had to boycott the Olympics. So the combination of those two things almost bankrupted NBC, actually.
Wow.
Because they went all in on the Super Train. And by the way, the episodes are still on YouTube. If you like stuff so bad, it's good. You should check these out before NBC has them destroyed. I don't know how they have it already.
I might, honestly, check this out.
It is the most 1970s thing you've ever seen. And it's like all the bad things from the 70s, really.
That is crazy. I have never heard of this. I feel like I really learned something today. Like, seriously.
It should be really, if you've ever seen The Disaster Artist or heard about that movie, somebody should do it. Disaster Artist type movie based on this. It's epic.
You know what, though? Let this be a lesson to people, though, in all seriousness. Like, when people put a lot of pressure on themselves for failing, or, like, you hit four or five home runs and then you have just a real stinker, like, this is somebody who is well-respected.
Absolutely. This man is a guy that...
Yeah, almost bankrupted a network. You know, like, so it can happen to anybody. Like, you can miscalculate. You can have an idea that just doesn't hit. You know, like, there were, you know, even when you go back to when 9/11 happened, right? Like, they had some movies that were coming out. Like, one of them was a big Arnold Schwarzenegger movie that had this huge budget, whatever. But because it was too similar in theme to kind of what had happened with 9/11, they just lost a bunch of money on it.
Right? I think that was a collateral damage. I think I wrote a piece about that back, about that same problem. Like, it was just too close to... 9/11.
And it's like, just things happen sometimes, right? Like, just you miscalculate, like, things out of your control. Just you think you know your market and it just doesn't come out right. That's why I tell people, all you can do is do your research, put your time in, and then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Don't be,
because even though you know he ended up leaving NBC largely in disgrace, Silverman still, you know, on his way out the door, and he will happily tell you about this, that Cheers was one of the things that he greenlit, you know, before they showed him the door. So he was still, you know, cranking out the hits. Super Tranches, unfortunately, was not one of them.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Dude still made money after that.
Right? Still a legend. Still, you know, saved at least two networks. And Cheers is basically, if you want to learn how to write a TV sitcom, Cheers is the textbook for your screenwriting class. So,
well, there you go. As far as people,
if you could come up with one show as good as Cheers, you're a legend in the industry.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. There's no contesting that. Okay, now I'll say this. For what I learned this past week, I will tell you, there's some things I can't go into too much detail on until later. But I have to admit, Facebook Gaming is trying to be a real player in this whole streaming thing. And I know that sounds crazy because people are like, Facebook? Boy, like, I'm telling you. Like, I now know some things, and I got put up on game on some stuff that they're trying to do.
Okay.
And first off, okay, let's back this up, because I think we mentioned that Facebook, back in late November, early December, they were going to roll out this whole Black content, or Black Gaming Creator Program, is what it was called. And that was kind of piggybacked on another announcement of they were going to be spending $200 million just building up their Facebook gaming platform, which is already saying, like, we're going to put our money where our mouth is. Like, we're going to throw real money at this thing, real resources.
And they picked up some big streamers, like the Disguised Toast, I think, is streaming over there among numerous others. So they're clearly spending the money.
Well, there you go. And then they also decided they were going to take $10 million of that money, and they were purposely going to focus on Black content creators and said, we want them to come into our house. We're going to give them space. We're going to give them resources. We're going to, you know, give them things to help train them, whatever, right? We're going to do a thing. We want this to be a real program to showcase Black content creators. Well, I can tell you, as recent as 2 weeks ago, they were already reaching out to people. Like, so think about it. They announced that, we'll call it, first beginning of December, and 6 weeks later, they're already contacting people to start lining people up to get them on their program and streaming.
They're obviously serious.
Yeah, they're no joking about this. Like, they are really doing it. And I went and looked at their, like, platform and the back end, and they're restructuring stuff and, like, giving you all types of information and access to things, and, like, you can promote your streams different ways, and, like, there's some stuff going down. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to, you know, they're not coming in, they're going to dethrone people or whatever, but they're going to get a real piece of the pie.
I mean, Twitch is trying to help them as best they can.
Well, that's true. And that's the thing, right? Like, think about the fact you have Twitch tripping over their own feet while trying to say, like, no, we want to have a more diverse thing. We realize there's a problem, whatever, right? And then Facebook is over here just saying, like, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to spend real money and resources and just bring these people in and give them a quality place to go. Right? Like, you can talk about it. We're going to be about it. I mean, that's basically what just happened.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times it's hard to bring down a giant, but if they trip over their own shoelaces, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, I get it. Like, a bunch of people have different issues with Facebook and Zuckerberg and all that. Like, I totally understand that. So I'm not sitting here, like, blind to that. I'm just saying, the fact that they have a division, and a division within a division, specifically to say, like, hey, we want to build up Black gaming creators. Right? Like, that alone, that's getting its own group of people dedicated to it, and they're putting real resources toward it, like, that says a lot. And I know, maybe if you're not Black, it doesn't ring the same way, maybe it doesn't hit the same, but, like, when you've recently been in a situation where you've got racist people coming in your chat, sending you some DMs or whatever, and you get no response from Twitch, And then some other people are like, hey, don't know if you're interested, but here's what we're doing over here. It's kind
of
hard.
The number of content, black content creators that haven't had that experience is getting smaller and smaller, I would say.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's hard not to pay attention. It's hard to not at least consider it. And I'm not saying I'm necessarily going to go completely away from Twitch or anything, you know, nothing like that necessarily. But if I have to pick and choose and spend resources and time somewhere, I kind of know where it's going. At least in the short term, to see like, okay, how long is this going to last? How good? I mean, you know, this is today. Obviously, tomorrow could be different. But they're making real efforts, man. Like, seriously.
And we know they got money to play with because they're Facebook.
Yep. And the timing is good, too, because you got Black History Month right around the corner. So you know they're going to be doing stuff with that. Like, I don't, I honestly, I'm a little worried about Twitch during Black History Month. I'm like, I'm like, man, I don't even want to know who they're going to showcase. This just feels like it's going to go sideways. Like, I just,
it is sad. It really hit me. We're laughing to keep from crying because it really is. That's not how we want to look at it. We want to be hyped and excited about, hey, what are you going to do for Black History Month? Who are you going to showcase? Unfortunately, that's just not the experience that we are having and seeing other people have.
I don't even know if I want to be showcased during Black History Month on Twitch right now.
That's the sad thing. I've heard so many people say they would rather not be on Twitch's front page as a creator of color, or as a woman, or for, you know, for really any marginalized community, because they know what it comes with.
Yeah, that's just so
tough. And that's sad.
It is. It's very sad. Because again, they are one of the giants in this sector. Like, you should want them supporting you and talking about you and building you up or whatever, but it's just like, all the crap that's come with it lately, it's just like, ugh, you know? And then,
yeah, for a streamer, this would be like a musician saying, you know, no, I'd rather not play the Grammys. Or an actor saying, no, I'd rather not have the Oscar. That's what you wouldn't want to do that, but.
Yeah.
Because the hate, you know, you get so much hate in comparison to that small opportunity to promote your stream and showcase what you can do. It's unfortunate, but that's where we are right now.
And that's why I'm saying when I'm looking over here at Facebook and, you know, having those discussions, it's like, well, what all are y'all doing over here? Like, let me take a look at this platform, see what you got going on the back end. Like, okay, cool. There's some fun ways to promote stuff. People can find my things. There's discoverability. I can figure out how I want to promote it a little better through Facebook that already has a giant network of, gosh, I don't know, billions of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's some benefits there. And now I will say this. They're still going to be behind some things. Like when I'm streaming on Twitch, I get to use like Cardboard Live, right? So you can highlight the screen and like see all the cards and all that stuff. Like you don't have that integration for Facebook. So like that would be a different experience. That's not there yet. So there's still some things that have to come to the platform to give you that same experience you have over on Twitch. Because again, Twitch was product A, right? That's the thing people would build for first. But you know what also happened in other markets? Remember how everybody used to make stuff for Apple and iOS first?
Yep.
Now you're seeing a lot of stuff being made for Android first. Because the market was like, whoa, well now there's all these Android phones from all these different companies, and now there's more Androids than there are Apple phones.
And aren't the Cardboard Live people working on some kind of project of their own too?
Oh yeah, they've got their own. They're trying to get into the streaming game. They had a, like, I don't know, like an online press conference or something like 2 months ago, maybe 3 months. And they were talking about how they're trying to set it up where people will be able to sell through their platform and different things. And, you know, so they're trying to do it. You know, so there's going to be some competitors coming. I don't think that Twitch is just going away. You know, I think they'll still be around 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now. But they're definitely going to lose some market share. Now, granted, that pie could also be growing immensely, too. Because as this younger audience comes up, one of the things, if you ask a lot of these people, I say, what do you want to be when you get older? Some of them will tell you, I want to be a streamer. I want to be a YouTuber. You know, that's not something we said before. So there might still be a gigantic market share there, or a gigantic market. It's just what percentage is Twitch going to be in control of? I think they're still going to be number one, But like I said, I think there's a reality where Twitch is maybe gets down to being like 40%, and you have a couple other major players that are into like 25 to 30% maybe, and then you know everybody picking up the slack.
And it's not just gaming anymore. There are so many other different categories on Twitch where there's room for growth.
And that's where they're, I mean, really, we've talked about it before. The fastest growing sector they have is just chatting.
Yep.
People just on there being personalities. And that's almost what they need to start marketing at some point.
The politics section is seeing some growth. And of course, with that is, you know, all the problems that come with having political content. Like, okay, now, so we're telling police that somebody, you know, has to go in there and moderate and make sure they're not spreading COVID conspiracies, or in theory, but that's a whole other soapbox for a different time.
Yep. I will say this. After having done my research, looked at it, talked to some people, had some discussions, I would truly say, if you are an up-and-coming streamer and you want to be discovered, I have to say right now, we'll put social issues aside. Because like every platform has some issue one way or the other. Like some people don't like Facebook gobbling up other things. People don't like YouTube taking people's money. People don't like Twitch having their racist on there. You know, like we all have a thing. Put those aside. I'm saying just you being a streamer, trying to be discovered. Right now, you have a better chance of doing that streaming to YouTube and Facebook. I honestly believe that. Now, I'm not saying you can't be found on Twitch, and if you have a decent network of other people that are already streamers, you know, they'll probably raid you here and again to get you a few more viewers or whatever, and that can help. But if you're just coming at it like, hey, I'm fresh, I don't have that network, I don't know what to do, I think I'm going to struggle building my audience or whatever, maybe consider checking out Facebook and YouTube. That might be where you need to be streaming, because the discoverability, where people can search up your past videos, your VODs, you know, having just ways you can promote your stuff to different people, to just all levels of discoverability. Right now, I think those are your better choices. Now, I also believe you need to just be available on multiple platforms.
Absolutely. You know,
whether it's YouTube and Twitch or Facebook and something, or having an active Twitter or Instagram account so you can let people know when your stuff's up on it. Like, that's part of the game. But I think if your main one probably needs to be one of those two right now. And that's crazy to say.
I mean, is almost partnered on Twitch at this stage.
Yeah, close to it. Yeah, like I'm a little ways away, but like we're at that point. And I think I told you previously, like, I don't know if I would accept being, if I do cross that threshold and, you know, they send me the notice, I'm not sure if I would sign a partnership deal with Twitch.
I mean, one of the Madden streamers that I follow, GutFox, says basically once you cross the 25 consistent audience threshold, it's a matter of time at that point. You've been over that for a while. So in theory, it is a matter of time.
But honestly, sure, it's extra money or whatever, but truthfully, I wouldn't want to take away the options of having me be able to be discovered through the other platforms. Because I can tell you, a large way I built up my stuff on Twitch is by having people come over from YouTube. Because I'm sharing my daily magic videos and my shorts with like strategy stuff on it or whatever over there. And people are coming and following me over on Twitch. So if I wasn't able to stream occasionally, put stuff over there or whatever, my Twitch audience wouldn't be as big. Because people, I mean, except for a few raids and whatever, people aren't just finding me through Twitch. That's just not how it works, unfortunately. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But that's where we are. It's a wild time. I'm just telling you, if you haven't considered it, I know you might just be like, nah, I don't check Facebook that much, whatever. Just saying. It's a thing. And as much as they're spending and as much as they're trying, it might be an even bigger thing. Don't know. Just saying it could be. But something else happened today.
Okay.
Streamer early access for Kaldheim. Did you get to watch anybody play today?
I did not. I was actually on Twitter soaking up the drama, which I guess is how magic works now.
That's fair. You got to do your research. Got to do research. Well, okay. Well, I'll just let you leave. What did you see drama-wise?
apparently, I guess the notifications came in kind of late in terms of, like, you know, when you... I mean, as somebody that I don't get the codes, so I don't know what all you have to do to get into the early access, but apparently people didn't get that until, like, right before it was time to stream. And some people, up until, I guess, day before, didn't know whether or not they were actually going to be in early access. So they are, I feel, understandably upset about that, because, I mean, you, as you know, like, what you're going to stream is a large part of your decision-making. It affects your numbers.
Oh, sure, sure.
And, you know, if you didn't get early access and you stream Magic, you might not want to stream Magic that day, because if you ain't got new cards, you know, hey, that affects things.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. Like, the way it's set up, you have a thing in Stream Elements that you have to sign up for. So there's basically a, I don't know if you want to call it, like a notice or a challenge or something. But you basically go click a button and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this. Because, like, I've done all the other things regularly. So when this comes up, I have the opportunity to do it. And it'll be accessible to you or not. So you click that, you get an email that says, hey, we got you. You're in the program. Like, when, you know, as the event gets closer, we'll send you your passwords, download, all that, right? Well, normally you get that second email, like, around the Friday before. So you have, like, a few days to make sure you can download it, be ready to go. You can't log in and do anything yet, because that doesn't go live. So usually, like, 24 to 48 hours before, you know, you actually just log in to play. But this time, a lot of people didn't get that second email. That didn't come through. So there was a little bit of question of just like, why, what happened? Like, and you know, people were cool, because they're like, eh, whatever, it's COVID. Like, maybe some people are behind, whatever. But then, like,
well, also, I think they switched people, because the person that was in charge of the content creator program has a new gig. So it's a new person. I'm sure that has nothing to do with it.
Definitely. There is a new person. But then the problem was that, okay, well, Saturday came. All right, I got nothing. Then it was like Sunday came. And then you started seeing a couple people post on Twitter like, hey, you know, anybody else get their email, whatever.
Yeah, if you're like us, who, you know, obsessed about, and I think most people, because this is, you know, this kind of stuff is our living. If you're doing something on Tuesday or Wednesday and you don't have any info about it by Sunday, yeah, you're understandably nervous.
Yeah, so then Monday rolls around, obviously, then Tuesday, and then they got everybody into the Discord, and then there was a little back and forth, and... You know, then some people got some emails with their credentials or whatever, and then some of them didn't work, and there were just a lot of issues this time. I will say, though, for the most part, looks like everybody who wanted to participate that met all the requirements got in. Some people, like, for some people, the download was slow. For some, like, for me, it was, like, I saw a bunch of people posting the download was slow, so I was like, cool, I'll just set up my download, and I'm gonna go shower, and then, you know, when I get back, it'd be ready to go. And mine downloaded in, like, I don't know, felt like 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, well, that wasn't long at all.
And if you're somebody like me that streams multiple games, okay, if you don't know by Sunday or Monday what you're streaming on Tuesday or Wednesday, you're like, well, it's not going to be Magic. I got to make an executive decision here, and I'm going to stream something else because I know that it's set up already.
Yeah, and I will say this, too. For people who don't know behind-the-scenes stuff, like, especially because I've been streaming on different platforms, right? Like, I've been testing some stuff on Facebook. I've been streaming on YouTube and on Twitch. I have different things set up for each stream. So sometimes, depending on what I'm doing, I'll be like, okay, well, let me set up this so I have this window available on, like, one click. Let me change my overlay so it looks like this to match the game I'm playing or whatever. You know, and just put in a little bit of prep work so my stream just looks a little bit better. And that's the thing I didn't get the opportunity to deal with this. But I will say, once it got going, I tried something different today. I decided, okay, since I'm going to stream, I'm going to start and do a morning stream on Facebook, and I'm doing evening stream, on YouTube, and I'm doing an evening stream on Twitch. And it went very well, surprisingly. Okay. I had a lot of people show up over on YouTube. I, you know what? I might be giving away some secret sauce here, actually.
I think you just did.
But seriously, you might be better off just streaming your games on a different platform. Like, and I know that sounds crazy because people are like, ah, but everybody's on you on Twitch and blah, but yeah, but think about it, right? Like, if you've got, and I don't know how many people, I'm just making up a number. I generally don't know the number here. But let's say there's 200 people all streaming Kaldheim new stuff, right? Early access. Well, would you rather be on a platform with 200 people showing the same stuff? Because people aren't going to, like, a few people might leave a couple of windows open with their, like, favorite streamers, or they might bounce between two or three. But they're not going to discover you, really, if they can go watch, like, Paulo Vitor play, or watch Andrea Mengucci play, or watch Sky Bills or Crokies or whoever, right? They're not going to come watch you. I mean, let's be real about it. Like, I'm not trying to be harsh, but, like, if all the top personalities and players and streamers are streaming on the same day, they're not going to come watch you. Not because you're terrible, but it's just these other people have already built up a name and audience and whatever. That's where they're going to go first.
Which is kind of like what I was saying. Like, if basically, as a Magic streamer, if you didn't get into the previews, should you even attempt to stream Magic on these days, do you think?
No, absolutely not. Like, I can even tell you.
That's kind of the conclusion I've reached also. And I thought that's kind of what I figured.
I can tell you this. I plotted my video, because I've been doing 2 to 3 deck videos a day for Kaldheim. So if people want to see new decks, go over to YouTube, Power Dragon. I have a playlist that's just MTG Kaldheim Standard that has like 22 decks in it. I purposely scheduled the decks in a certain way that the ones that were likely to be less popular or important were on today and tomorrow. Because I knew a bunch of people are just going to be watching live streams of stuff with Kaldheim, not looking at YouTube videos for Kaldheim. And you know what? The numbers bared that out. Each video has, one of them probably has about a third as many, and one has about half as many as it would have at this point in the day normally. So that already tells me, like, what I thought was true is true.
A little tip from your Uncle Daquan right there.
So what I'm saying is, if you are a content creator and you are going to be streaming on these days, seriously, consider streaming on YouTube and Facebook. Or maybe one of the other new ones with Cardboard Live or whatever, right? One of the other things. But you have,
or if you stream other games, I guess. If you look at doing that possibly.
That's true. If you're not, if you do something else, maybe the early access thing isn't for you. But the reality is, it's going to do you so much better for exposure to go stream on these other platforms. I can tell you, over on YouTube, I can probably go tell you my average if I go click on this thing and open it up. I know this is captivating podcast time, but at one point, I saw I had 150 plus active in my thing. And that's literally from start to just go, right? I built up over the course of about that first hour, stayed consistently above 100, was anywhere between 122 to 160. If I'm streaming on Twitch today, I probably would have had most of my core audience probably would have come by, and that would have been about it. Maybe one or two stragglers, because I would change the title to match whatever deck I'm playing. I probably would have seen top in like 60 to 65. If I'm lucky, it would have been a 75 person day. So I may not have even hit half as many viewers as I got over on YouTube. And I was actively able to send people like, hey, yeah, go check out this other video I have up. Or, hey, I'm going to be on Twitch later. Y'all should come over and see me this evening. Because again, streaming late on the West Coast is when a lot of people go to sleep because you're past prime time and everything else. So when I start streaming at 9 o'clock, that's already 6-7 o'clock for everybody else. So like, there's a reason, right? But yeah, it shows that my peak concurrent viewers was 166. And I stayed between 154 and 137 for a big chunk of it. So there you go. But yeah, I think people don't think about it, though. I think it's easy to go, hey, I just want to go be over on Twitch, easy default or whatever. But the truth is, there's not even going to be a lot of raids for you today from the bigger account. Because a lot of times people just look for somebody to go raid or whatever, especially today because everybody's playing Kaldheim. But that's not even going to be a thing today because they're already going to have other people in their network and their friends or whatever, and they're going to send people to them. Because why wouldn't they? You know what I mean? That makes sense to me. I would probably do it. I'd be like, hey, you want to see new cards? I know this person builds fun decks. You're probably going to enjoy them here, over here. Boom.
That's one of the things you probably plan over the weekend when you get your access is who you're going to rate.
Well, I asked a couple of people, like, hey, what time are you going to be on or whatever? And also for my own entertainment, because, like, if I'm taking a break, it's like, hey, can I go watch somebody else? Like, that matters. So, yeah, I think it's one of those things people don't consider. But on a day like this, when you're doing CalTime Early Access, maybe streaming on the other platforms gets you more eyeballs. Because you know what the difference is, too? People are scrolling YouTube. People are scrolling Facebook. And your thing will show up or be recommended to them. That's not necessarily going to happen on Twitch. Actually, I'd almost guarantee it won't happen on Twitch. So there's at least an outside chance of somebody clicking a thing, seeing a thing, whatever, that's similar to what you're doing or streaming that you could end up in front of them. But that's not going to happen on Twitch on a day like today. And I've tested it. This is the second time I've done something like this. And it checks out, man. I don't know what to tell people, but you're missing an opportunity. And not only that, I even got a couple people that gave me some $5 super chats.
There you go.
So I got me a little extra loot from just streaming over on YouTube. So that, and you know, you get better ad revenue and all that, whatever. So it makes your numbers look great to YouTube. And it probably recommends you more on the algorithm. It's a way to win favor with the YouTube AI gods or whatever you want to call them. So there's a lot of benefits to doing it. Same thing over on Facebook. And I got a lot more followers today, actually, above average over on YouTube. I think that's also another thing. Subscribers over there went up significantly today. So lots of things to really consider is all I'm saying. Now, that being said, man, CalTime was fun as hell. Okay. I have to admit, there were some crazy things some people were doing. I saw some over the top. Like, there was a few people trying to do, I don't know if you saw, what's his name, Tybalt's Trickery or whatever it is, where you can counter a spell, then it randomly determines 1, 2, or 3 for some reason, the number of cards the player has to mill, and then they reveal cards from the top of their library until they get to a non-land card, and they cast that.
Okay, well, that's some crazy stuff.
Yeah, people are trying to play it in a way that they target themselves, so they're trying to fill their deck with just the new Tybalt or whatever, and like Ugin's, right? So the idea is, all right, I play something that costs 0, like a Stone Coil Serpent, and then I counter it, and then I flip through cards till I get to one of my big hitters. But I can tell you, I played against a player who literally I went turn 1, played a thing, they went turn 2, land, I turn 2, played another creature, turn 2, they went cast Stone Coil, counter with Trickery, got big Tybalt in play.
All right, cool. Countering their own card?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
But here's the thing. Not only did they get one Tybalt, which we dealt with, they got a second Tybalt, which we got rid of. And then late in the game, when they just stacked up all this land, they went Ugin, killed it, Ugin, killed it, and we still won.
Okay.
So I have no faith in those decks. Because here's the other thing. I will say this, though. I think we just haven't seen the best version of them, at least.
Yeah.
At least in Standard. It might be better in, like, Historic, where you can get, like, an Ulamog and destroy your opponent's 2 lands or something or whatever, and that probably has more impact. But in Standard, I don't think it's enough. Because even if you hit a big Planeswalker, it's like, well, your opponent might still just a turn or two later just have, like, Bloodchief's Thirst. Or
I think a lot of people would just scoop off of that second Tybalt, though. Especially if I'm having a bad day, I might have just picked it up off of them getting that much luck.
But here's the thing, though. You still have, like, Murderous Riders that people started adding to lists. You still have Questing Beasts floating around. Not only that, you have stuff like Zagreus and the other Death Touch thing that if you have a creature with Death Touch hit a Planeswalker, it kills it, right? Because now you have the thing where everybody wants to try to get poison counters, so that's a thing floating around. And you're not counting about people actually just straight up playing spell counters of some kind. So, like, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily terrible. I think we haven't seen the best version of it yet, because I've run into it a couple times. I'm not that excited.
And I'm playing Mono Greens. Out of all the cards you just mentioned, the only one that would be in any of my decks is Questing Beast.
But Questing Beast is legit. If you know your opponent has Planeswalkers, you save it to try to kill a Planeswalker, right? Now, I will say this. Of the decks I played, I only didn't like my Giants list. Like, everything else was fun as hell. Like the Abzan Elves was great.
Are elves going to be a thing? That's what I really want to know. Are elves going to be?
I think the answer is yes.
Okay.
But not how a lot of people have built them. I saw a couple of different versions played against me today, and I think they were trying too hard. It's the only way I can say it. It's like they were trying to like play the snow elf that also like untaps a land and then you can get more mana. And it's like, but it's like, you should just be, if you're just being aggressive, just beat your opponent down. Like, why are we doing all this trickery? Try to get to like turn 52 or whatever. Like, this is crazy. Like, and honestly, one of the games I won, if I remember right, was because an opponent was taking longer, trying, you know, like goofing around doing, and maybe it's just because it's early access and they're just trying new cards. And that's a reasonable, you know, thing to do. But when I was playing, it was just like, if you just turn one, turn two, turn three, whatever, do your thing, make tokens, attack, like that's still a viable strategy. The Angels deck was okay. Angels and Clerics worked out fine. Like I said, it didn't enjoy my Giants list very much. The Death Touch list was a lot of fun. It did well. I'm trying to think what else I played. I played a bunch of different decks though, and it was pretty cool. Yeah, I don't really have much to complain about. Like it was fun, man.
And I guess as far as you know, nothing seemed like, oh my god, this is gonna ruin Magic. At least so far.
No, nothing so far seemed too over the top. But I'm a believer that it's hard to, unless a card is just egregious, it's hard to ascertain that from the first day's worth of play, because you have a lot of situations where, like I said, a bunch, even myself, like there's times, even to the chat, I was like, I know what the better play is that probably leads to us winning next turn, but you know what? I kind of want to play this, like, whatever it's called, not the planar, the rainbow bridge or whatever, to be able to, like, get cards off the top of your library. I'm like, but I want to do this because it's super sweet. We're just going to do this instead, right? And how many times are people doing that, right? Like, that's going to lead to your game results not being totally accurate. So it's kind of hard to say one way or the other. And as the formats develop, we'll all start playing like the appropriate removal cards for what other people are playing, right? Because there's a world where, like, okay, you may not play eliminates because you're afraid of there being too many giants or big green creatures or whatever. But if the format ends up being a bunch of like mono red, some dwarves, elves and whatever, it's like, well, eliminate might be the removal card of choice. You know what I mean? So like, there's a lot of that stuff we have to figure out that we're not there yet, but lots of cool stuff. I saw a lot of people trying, and it's weird because I will say in previous early access events, I saw people trying new cards, but not to the level that they were today. So, and I think that's a positive sign that there's a lot of things that, because before it was just like, okay, well, I want to play this deck I already know is reasonable, and I'm just going to put in these couple of cards. But people look like they were really wanting to try new cards this time, which is awesome. So if it's inspiring people to build, and honestly, if it gets us away from playing a bunch of the older, honestly, Eldraine cards, then like, this is a positive. But we'll see. Give it another week. You know, it'll come out tomorrow, or I guess maybe when people are listening to this today. And then we'll see where we are a week from now. Once things start settling in and everybody's playing with it and the hive mind starts building decks, we'll see where we're at. But it's a pretty positive start so far. But all that being said, we're actually running a little long here. You know what? Maybe it's time to break out the dishes. And this is actually a little bit of a lighter topic, but this is more like, I don't know, speculative that we want to talk about. And I kind of want to ask you, Brian, like, as you know, we're starting to get to where people are getting their vaccines and, you know.
Are we?
little more difficult for you in Texas, but we did see that today. I think the president signed a thing to order like 200 million more doses, which is nice. But as we start progressing forward, right, and people around the world, not just in the U.S., start getting vaccinated and get back to whatever new normal looks like, what do you think our play environments are going to be like? What are you expecting? Because not just even from the sense of like COVID or whatever, but with all the events that will have transpired, which you're talking about probably about a year and a half's worth of stuff since you last saw your local game store or your player base, like, what do you think that's going to be like?
It's just bizarre because I before this, who would have envisioned where we just wouldn't have an opportunity to play in-person Magic for a year or more?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's... I started trying to think about just different things. Like, how... Okay, well, I'll ask you this. Like, how many people do you know that you thought you knew, but then between all the, like, BLM stuff and the political stuff or whatever, like, you kind of got to see some true colors of some people you might run into again. Like, what does that do to things?
Again, being in Texas, I feel like I've had a pretty good read on where a lot of my friends were laying politically, so.
Yeah, because I don't know, man. Like,
I'm a liberal in a strange land.
No, you're fine. Like, I just had the thought of, like, there are probably going to be some stores I'm probably not going to stop in for a while just because of the area some of them are located in, yeah. Maybe. Like, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. But, I mean, when you see some of the people that may frequent a store, you might be like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy post some other crap that, like, Like, I feel
I'm not going to, I would say I there's nobody's store that I feel like I'm not going to go to because I saw something.
No, I'm with you. I think most of the stores have, for lack of a better term, most of them have behaved themselves. I don't think that's that big of an issue. I'm more worried about individuals. And then, like I said, you have the political stuff, you have the BLM stuff, but then you just have, like, I mean, are you going to become more of a Commander player? You know, whereas you didn't play a lot of Commander before.
I think I'm definitely going to, because I had played zero Commander before all this stuff, I'm definitely going to play a lot more.
I could see that. Like, there's been a lot of discussion that some people who even would classify themselves as Commander players have actually played, from what I talked to several of them, they said they played at least two or three times more Commander than they did previously. Because of spell table, and, like, you have more downtime when you're at home, so just, like, they're playing, which probably also explains card prices and card sales right now. People are actually playing more Commander, not less. So that'll be interesting, right? How do stores decide to schedule their, like, their hours for their events, or what do they decide to run, or do they do more casual nights, or whatever? Like, I have no idea what any of this is going to look like.
This is not what Wizards meant by Year of Commander, but it ended up becoming the Year of Commander for reasons we couldn't have foreseen.
For sure. I mean, just, I don't know if, I mean, nothing's good about COVID, but I mean, good timing, you know, like, maybe. And then there's the other thing, and I think I've joked about this before, but I started thinking about it seriously. Like, there are some people I had just recently met or just started, I don't know, endearing myself to or building relationships with, that you kind of have to start all over now.
Yeah. Also, but, just in terms of playing things, I mean, Arena has been doing all my combat and other Magic-related math for me for a year now, so I can't even imagine how many mistakes I'm going to make playing paper Magic again.
That's true. I mean, even, because think about this, there's going to be mechanics that you're going to play with that you have never functionally played with in paper.
Right. Companions, for example.
Yeah. I have not played a paper game where I've had a companion. But I played several in Arena. So, like, so that's, like, a weird thing to think about, right? That, like, you're going to, like, things you already know, you're going to have to learn again.
Just mentioned poison is a thing again.
Yeah. So it's just, I think that's the type of stuff that I find it interesting. You know, there's going to be people, and I've joked about this before with my wife. I said, like, there are people that I introduced myself to a year and a half ago for the first time. Right. Or maybe just a little less than that, 14 months or so. But, like, by the time I see them again, it's going to be somewhere around, like, a year and a half to 2 years since I've seen them. So, like, that's such a weird thing. I may have to reintroduce myself to the same people.
Sadly, I know many people's shops have closed in this time span.
Yeah, that's also a thing in some places.
And it was even under normal circumstances, if a shop closed and you had to find another place, everybody didn't go to the same place because let's somebody might go to a shop that's closer to them.
Yeah.
Especially the Dallas area, where as the joke goes, Dallas is 2 hours away from Dallas. You may play at a store that's, you know, like in my case, in the suburbs, but you may have people that come from an hour away or more because they like the shop and they like the customers.
Oh, yeah. That totally happens down there. Like here, I don't necessarily have that issue. I've been very lucky, both in the fact that most of the shops here, I can say, really have been really good about their COVID protocol and everything else. And most of them have had communities here that have helped keep them open. So that's been really nice. So I don't know of any particular store here that has closed mainly because of COVID. Like the only, I don't even know. I think I want to say I heard of one closing, but they were already kind of talking about it a little bit sometime over a year ago. So maybe, but yeah, I'm really interested in how it's all going to play out. Like how we see the game, how we play it, you know, how we interact. It just feels like there, it's almost going to be like everybody's, even though we're going to be somewhat familiar, everybody's going to be at least a little bit new again on some level. And I don't even know if that's good or bad because most of us haven't had that experience in a long time. I mean, even at my local stores here, like I haven't been new in years. I've always known somebody now every time I went in, but it's like, do I now? Do some of those people even still live here? Do they still play? Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it's going to be a weird time.
It's just wild.
Yeah. Anyway, just something to think about. I don't know, just something to process. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media, Brian?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After.
And as usual, you can find me at Power Dragon just about everywhere. You can find YouTube videos every day, and you can come catch me streaming. Or just follow me on Twitter. I'm a good follow. I have lots of random stuff over there. But as always, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And still for a bit longer, while we're trying to get everybody vaccinated, please remember to wash your hands, wear your mask, stay away from other humans. And even if you think it's dumb, just do it for the rest of us so we can all get back to gaming and gathering as soon as we can.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.